James 1:17, if you'll turn there. While you're looking up James 1:17, I want to address you as a friend, okay? I know that I preach to you all the time, and I give to share my heart with you, and one of the things that's really struck me as difficult this week is to watch people fall apart over the election. And I want you to know something. As a church, we have the responsibility as the arm of God to love everyone. I wouldn't begin to ask you to tell me how you voted this week. And I got to tell you, I really don't care how you voted this week. What I care about is how you show people you love them where you are. Because wherever they are and wherever you are, we're going to the same place, hopefully. And if you've got somebody in your life that is just dragging you down because of this dumb election, realize that God is bigger than 4 years. God is bigger than 8 years. And we may be snuffed out tomorrow. The reality is, have you shared the love of Christ with somebody today? Now, I say that because this is a freebie, okay? I don't get paid for this one. We are not allowed as a church to endorse candidates. We are not allowed as a church to stand up and say, I voted for so-and-so and you need to vote for so-and-so. I don't know how they get away with it, but I will tell you this. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. What matters to me and should matter to you as a follower of Christ is, are we leading people to Christ? I don't know where we're headed, but I never knew 4 years ago. I never knew 8 years ago. I never knew 16 years ago. I didn't know any of that. But I still followed the Lord. So that's my challenge today. Remember that. Okay? So challenge yourself this week. As people say to you, hey, did you see what happened? Stop watching it. Turn the TV off. Focus on the Lord for some time, man. There are lots of places you can put your attention, but how much more wonderful would it be if you could just put your attention on the Lord this morning? Amen? All right. That being said, let's turn to our message this morning. There was a guy by the name of Edward Spencer, and I'm going to tell you this story. He was working as a safety, a life-saving kind of person in the 1860s, okay? And so I was working on the shore of Lake Michigan, and there was a boat that had run aground. And so he had gone to into the cold water. Lake Michigan, by the way, is cold year-round. It's not really a fun place to be, but usually when a boat hangs up, you got to wait out. Goes out, and he saves some 30 people in the process. And and it hurt him physically. It actually, you know, caused him some physical health issues that affected him the rest of his life. And so some years later at the funeral, no one even said anything about what this guy did to save lives. None of the people who actually were saved by this guy thanked him for it. No one said, thanks, Ed, for what you did. You know, worse than being discourteous is these people displayed a lack of gratitude. You know, it's one thing to be courteous and recognize somebody, but it's another thing to show a lack of gratitude. And especially as believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens up our lives for God. When we're grateful to God, God's will can be done in us and through us. And one of my favorite holidays of the year is Thanksgiving. And it's not because I get all of my favorite side dishes. It has nothing to do with that. The best part of Thanksgiving is being able to recognize in my own life the things that I am thankful for. I have to stop and express to God thanksgiving. And so, however our attitude is, we need to have an attitude of gratitude 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when you wake up in the middle of the night and God says something to you, your first words are, thank you, Lord. When you wake up in the morning and you have to go to work, and some of us get up at 4, some of us get up at 5, I'm not saying us as in me because I don't do that, but there are some of us who get up at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning, and your first word should be, oh my, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Instead, what we need to be saying is, oh, thank you, Lord, for letting me have a night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for having me get up so I can go to a job. Thank you for those things. Those are the things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pursue thanks. We have to go after thanks, and sometimes it's tough. So today and next Sunday, we're going to be engaged in this two-sermon series called Pursuing Thanks. So I want us to be thankful, and it's not understood as a door or a portal. It's just how we reach God. You have to go through thanksgiving to reach God. And I want to say, that sounds kind of weird, but the reality is you thank God in the beginning of your prayers. Amen? So when you talk to God, the first thing you say is, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Remember the old chorus? Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, all those things we sing and all the things we do, being thankful is best understood that way. We'll miss out on what God has in store for us if we stop being thankful. So it's important for us to understand where gratitude fits into our daily lives, every day. And it's so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I know that's not the verse I gave you, says, pray continually to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. A 24/7 attitude means I am thankful all the time. And every now and then you hear a pastor say, God is good. And your response would be? All the time. The reason we say that is because it's kind of become a ritualistic for some churches, but I will tell you, it's not a ritual to thank God. It's a responsibility to thank God. We have to have this attitude of gratitude in our hearts. So this morning, we're going to look at five specific areas in our lives that we need to be thankful in. And number one is in our blessings. Be thankful that things are going well. This is the verse, James 1:7. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Unfortunately, those people on the lake of Lake Michigan did not thank him, never bothered to say thank you. And how many times do we never bother to say thank you to God? God tells us that the source of all good things is of him. Failing to have a sense of gratitude is actually being ungrateful. It's ingratitude. You know what I mean? And so we get in the habit of being thankful, and it reminds me of a story of two guys running through a field, and one guy's name was John, and he was running through the field, and all of a sudden they noticed a bull coming at them. And they're running, and his friend looks at him and says, John, you need to pray right now. Offer up a prayer. John said, I've never prayed in public. The guy says, I don't care, John. You better pray and pray now. He says, well, I'm going to pray the only prayer I know of. My dad used to pray this every day. And what did he say? Right? Thank you for this we are about to receive. We have this problem with being thankful to God, right? And I remember reading a story about a guy. They were sitting in a church service, and somebody had passed away, and they had stood up to say that, you know, we're giving this gift to the church in memory of our son. How many of you have given gifts to the church in memory of somebody, right? They'd give a really large gift. And a lady leaned over to her husband and said, we should give a gift in memory of our son like this. He said, honey, our son's not dead. She said, that's the point. Let's give it while he's still alive. Not very funny, is it? Sorry about that. The truth is, we need to give our gift giving while people are living. We need to give thanks while we can. We need to give thanks while we can. Expressing thanks to God is a blessing. And we get to ask, we just thank God for the things he gives us and that's just a starting place for us to thank God for these things. So next Sunday, this is your homework, okay? Next Sunday, we're going to take a section of our worship service. We're going to give you an opportunity to thank God for something. Now, this isn't an invitation to skip church next week because you're nervous about saying something. And I'm not going to call on you if you don't want to be called on. But I will say to you that it's an opportunity for you next week to fill in the blank. I am so thankful to the Lord for this, whatever this is. I'm thankful that God gave me this, or that God took care of this, or whatever it is in your life. Listen, as you begin this week, I know we have 2 weeks of Thanksgiving. I'll stretch it out as long as I can, but I will say to you that you need to be thankful. So figure it out this week. That's your homework. Have an attitude of gratitude. Goes far beyond that. We thank him for our blessings. We also have to thank him in our prayers. As we bring requests to God, we're to be thankful. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. One of the most effective parts of prayer is understanding how we can enter into an attitude of gratitude. Because once we start thanking God for all the things He's given us, our little request seems so small. It kind of puts things in perspective when you're thanking God. One of the things it says in that verse, in everything give thanks, but right before that, the verse says, pray without ceasing, 24/7. These are two ideas that are very connected. In everything give thanks and pray without ceasing. So many people view prayer as a wish list, a gimme list. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's like we're coming and sitting on Santa's lap. And God says, what do you want today? I want a Red Ryder BB gun, right? Whatever it is you want in life. We see, we just throw it out there because this is what we want. We say, give me health, give me wealth, give me obedient children, give me a job, give me whatever it is I need, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Some of us need a miracle cure for something that we have or something that somebody else has, or we just want a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever it is that you want in life. Some of us want big things like the lottery, you know. And so we are not instructed to bring, what we are instructed to do is bring our burdens to God, bring our concerns to God, and our felt needs, the things that we need to God. That's all the prayer is, communicating with Him. It says in Philippians 4:6, in everything with thanksgiving we give. We're to be thankful for the privilege of prayer. The fact that we can talk to God, it didn't come with no price. It came with a high price. Jesus shed His precious blood to allow us to enter into the presence of God. Jesus died so that we no longer have to go through a priest. We can go through Jesus Himself. Because Jesus and the Father are one. When we talk to God, we talk to the Father. I used to get hung up when people would pray to Jesus instead of God. Listen, we get ritualistic about it. Jesus is God, so somebody says, dear Jesus, it's totally okay because they're the same person. You know? And so we get into this ritualistic of prayer, but it's an honor and a privilege that we should be thankful for that we get to talk to God. Every prayer needs to be voiced with a remembrance of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Oh, so many years ago. We're to be thankful in advance for how God will work things out, how God will take care of us, and how God will do those things for our good, even though we don't see it as our good necessarily. We're to pray with the faith and the assurance that God's power is greater than any power in the world. He is a sovereign God. He allows things to happen for His purpose. And so when we pray to God, we can ask God, why have I been in this situation? Why am I jobless? Why am I homeless? Why am I without my spouse? Why am I without my kids? Why? God knows why. He's just waiting for you to listen to the answers. It may come a while. It may take a while to get there, but we're to be thankful, number one, because He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He wants to give us what's best. It's His good and perfect will. Whatever happens in your life is His good and perfect will. It may not be calm and smooth right now, but God has the power to calm the storm. And when He's ready, all He'll do is go, and it'll be done. So we also need to be thankful in our worship, thirdly. As we connect with God, Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. You know that song, everybody says, well, I don't sing very well. Let's make a joyful noise. I'll just throw it out there, right? And listen, the musician side of me says, please, why don't you throw it out there somewhere else? But the pastor side of me says, look, you worship how God tells you to worship. Some of us raise our hand when we worship. Some of us cover our heart when we worship. Some of us, if you're sitting next to my wife, cover your ears when you worship. Whatever it is. I'm just kidding. Oh, come on. Don't be that way. You've heard her sing. Listen. Anyways, all I'm saying is I don't care the posture of worship you have. You just need to worship. Amen? Listen, I got to tell you, I used to think that no one, that everybody could be taught to sing. And then I got married. And then I realized something. She worships better than anybody I know. And I love her for it. I love her for it. You guys can smack me afterwards. It's okay, I don't mind. She's going to. So, the fruit of our lips, the things that we sing, the things that we say, those are the fruit of our lips. How many of us throw fruit, you know, how would you eat fruit that's rotten? And that's what happens when you start to curse. Those are the fruit of your lips. Your lips put out fruit, and that fruit comes from your heart. So if you're cussing like a sailor, chances are your heart's not in the right spot. You know, maybe you're changing. Maybe God's changing. Your fruit is starting to ripe a bit. And you're starting to become better at the things you say and the things you do and how you encourage people. That's the fruit of your lips. God wants us to be ripe, right? Colossians 3:16 says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We've seen other messages that worship begins with a sense of reverence toward God and then expressed from the lips of our thanksgiving, and we sing. And look at the words of Psalm 100. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name. Listen, Psalm 100 was the Psalm of Ascension. The Psalm of Ascension is one that brings us closer and to the feet of God. It brings us up to God's level so we can sit next to God. And I've been to football games where I've lost my voice shouting for games, for my team. And I've been to those places where I've lost my voice. How many of us have lost our voice for Jesus Christ because we've raised it so high? Yeah, okay, I got to that point too when I was younger. I'd go to those little Jesus rock and roll concerts. And Petra, man, you had to sing loud to get along with Petra, okay? And so that shows how old I am. That was the 80s. Just so you know, I'm keeping track, all right? Went to a couple of Petra concerts in the 80s. Petra were long-haired, hippie, Jesus-loving freaks, and they just shouted and praised God with rock and roll music, and I loved it. Notice the ED on that? My ears can't do that anymore, and my voice can't do it either. But how many of us would appreciate losing our voice for praise? You know? This is the song, and Psalm 100 was a song they would use as they entered into the gates of the city of Jerusalem. They would sing this song of hymn, this hymn of song. And they would sing these songs of praise, and they entered into the inner courts of the temple. That's what they would do. Unless you have a heart that is thankful to God, can you really worship him? Unless you have a heart, before we can praise him, there has to be an attitude of gratitude in our heart that he's already given us. There must be a sense of thanksgiving for the privilege of knowing who God is, right? Just to allow us to be a part of the mission that's unfolding on earth is a wonderful thing. You realize that God has all this in his plan, and somewhere along in this plan, you and I are a part of it. Lord willing, God kept you on earth this long so you could be a part of the plan of bringing revival to the people of the United States of America and bring the revival to the world. And I will tell you, this is the time. This is the time. He leads us into a more personal relationship and stretches our heart. He stretches our heart with the art of praise. You ever heard the term, oh, he has a huge heart? What does that mean? He has a huge heart. It means he's generous. He has a huge heart. It means he loves people. I'm talking about people now. So if I said, you know, I said, my wife, she's got a huge heart. It's not a physical malnormity. It's something that she has that she just loves everybody. She'd give away my house if she needed to. That's why we don't own one. You know? So that's her heart. See, I can pick out my wife, but I can love on her too, right in front of you. So we have this huge heart. That's a metaphor that speaks to worship. You have a huge heart for God? Do people look at your heart and say, he loves Jesus so much, or she loves Jesus so much? So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, then leads us into the inner courts with praise, and then we have fellowship. That's the fourth thing. In our fellowship, we have to be thankful for other believers that God had brought us into our lives. And I will tell you something. It's amazing to me. 2 years ago, when I used to go out to dinner, I called two families that we had in our church. Because that's all we had in our church. We're like two families. You remember those days? I'd say, we're going to go out to dinner. Now, I got to make 12, 15 phone calls. Why? Because our inner fellowship is growing to where we're reaching out to others. I sat down with dinner at Fuddruckers the other night with 9 men. I loved it. We are supposed to be in fellowship, not so we can have larger numbers, so we can have fellowship. Do you realize how awkward it is to have 3 guys sitting at a table eating a burger? One guy doesn't like to talk in public, so I got to do all the talking. You know? And so we just sit there and just kind of sit at each other. Good hamburger. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just look at each other. We didn't have much of a fellowship, but we went out. Now, I don't have to do any talking when we go out. I just listen. It's wonderful to hear the fellowship of the believers. Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's Paul writing. He says, look, I give thanks to God for you. It's because it's important. And I will say to you, the reason I can stand before you and say, I want to address you as friend is because I realize that you all are my friends. And it doesn't come easy because I will tell you that I know there are pastors who say, pastors can't be friends. And I want to say to them today, they're wrong. We can be in a fellowship of believers and we can have friends. Yes, I have been burned by people, but God has never burned me. And so when I lay my life on the line, which is what I do as pastor to be your friend, I lay my heart out and there's a chance I'm going to get it stomped on. You know? And you know what happens when you stomp your toe? It gets bigger. So stomp away. My heart's going to get bigger, you know? Because I believe with all my heart that the fellowship of believers is important. It says right in Scripture. Howard Hughes said this. He was worth approximately $4 billion, which back then was a lot of money. Now not so much. He said, I'd give it all for one good friend. Howard Hughes said that. He didn't say much anything else I liked, but he said that. In 1970, somewhere in there, the football coach, Pepper Rogers, I have to read this, I don't know anything about football. He was coming under intense criticism and from fans and alumni. Things got so bad, he remembered with a smile. Friends became hard to find. He described it this way, my dog was my one true friend, my only friend. I told my wife, every man needs at least 2 good friends, and so she bought me another dog. You know, it's good for us to have Christian friends. It's good for us, and it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost you to be a friend. And, you know, it's part of His plan for our life. His plan for us is to have relationships, is to have friends, right? So we need to do that. Our view of another as a fellow believer should be one as gratitude. Because I can say to my fellow believers, hey, I'm struggling this week with something, and they can say to me, hey, let me pray for you. And I can say to my fellow believer, hey, I'm having a great week. And they can say, well, I'm not having such a great week, but as friends, we can come together and have a great week together. So in our fellowship. And fifthly, in our suffering, be thankful in every circumstance. Ephesians 5:20, I've got a few verses that talk about this. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Acts 16:25 says this, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't singing at midnight because they were visiting the jail at midnight. They were singing at midnight because they were living in prison. They were living in prison. Prayer is an integral part of expressing gratitude. We have to pray, not just for the things we're about to receive, but we're to pray because we're to be thankful for those things. Sometimes we say prayers out of habit. Sometimes we recite words. Some churches, they have them in a pew at the end. You're supposed to pick up a card on your way in so you know what they're praying this morning. So, an attitude of gratitude starts with a changed perspective as well. We have to look at things differently. It affects how we look and how we perceive. If you look at things differently, okay, we can see things differently. My wife went to a 3D movie with my son the other day. Way different than a regular movie. You see through a pair of glasses, and it brings things out so much clearer. But if you take those glasses off at a 3D movie, you see like blurry red and blue and white and green, and you don't see anything really. All you see is kind of what it should look like. But God gives us the ability to see through his eyes and see clearly through his eyes. We just have to put those glasses on, right? So, kid came home, showed his dad his report card. Dad and mom looked at the report card, said, "Son, we need to have a talk." 7 F's. Kid said, "But yeah, I thought you'd be proud of me." I said, "Son, why would I be proud of you?" He said, "At least I didn't cheat." Our perspective has to change, you know? Sometimes we get a little skew in life. We have some expectations. Now, that doesn't mean that I would encourage my kids to get an F because they get punished for that. But I will say, do you hear me say that, right? So what I'm saying is perspective is what matters there. So Matthew Henry, he's a commentary writer. He was robbed with a man with a weapon at some point in his life. And later on, he was talking about the event, and he said, "I'm thankful that God changed my heart so much. I'm thankful that he didn't take my life. I'm thankful that he didn't, you know, even though he took my money bag, I didn't have much in there. I'm thankful for that. My life is much more than our earthly possessions," he says. "God has granted me to sojourn right here, and I'm thankful that I could because I lived through that experience." God has you here because he's gotten you through some things. And some of us have been through things that could have ended our life. But God brought us to this point for a reason. So when Paul and Silas were beaten and they were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, we might have expected them to feel sorry for themselves. But no, what they did was not complain about it. They praised God for it. And praised God in spite of it. They praised God in the midst of it. And when Peter and John were arrested and thrown into prison and placed in the darkest part of the dungeon, they praised God with their lives. If they were ever to talk of Jesus again, they did not remain silent. They refused. And I will say to you that that is what we're called to do. Then, when they were released the next day, they thanked God for being faithful to them and honoring them in their not remaining quiet. How could they do this? How could they do this in the middle of their worst day and their worst night? How could they do that? The key is that they learned the secret of the attitude of gratitude. An attitude isn't stymied by a circumstance. Our attitude takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Remember the whole thing with the battery? I don't understand how bunny and the lick. I wouldn't lick a bunny. Anyways, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, which, by the way, in jail, and also was the book of what? Book of joy. He wrote about joy in the midst of prison. Now, I can guarantee you, if you go down to San Quentin or someplace here where there's a prison, I've never been to one here, but if you go there, they'll talk about how their life is not exactly joyful. Right? But it doesn't matter. He had learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstances he found himself. He possessed a 24/7 attitude of gratitude. Do you have that in your life? So what's your GQ this morning? What's your gratitude quotient? You know how intelligent you are. How grateful are you? Are you thankful today? In the middle of whatever you're having going on in your life, whatever circumstances are going on, you can be. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ when I allow him to be my strength," right? In other words, I'm confident that he's going to bring me through this to victory. I'm confident that on the other side of this, we're going to have victory, and things aren't going to look different than they are right now in the moment. Because right now in the moment, you might be on life support because you're just barely making it. But I will say to you that God's going to get you through this. Are you practicing 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you"? Are you practicing these things? So stop right now and thank God anew, afresh. So funny when my kids, I'll do something that I do stuff all the time for my kids. You know how kids are. I feel bad for them because sometimes I talk about them, but they're probably asleep by now, so we'll just keep talking. So my kids, I do things for them all the time. My wife does all the time. And all of a sudden, I'll hear in the back of my ear somewhere, because I have a hard time hearing. I have selective hearing. "Thanks, Dad." And I'm caught off guard. "What are you thanking me for?" "For picking me up today." "I pick you up every day. You never said thank you." "I just wanted to say thank you." Trip me out. Why? Because I'm not used to hearing my kids say thank you for the little things. I wonder if God sometimes is caught off guard because we don't say thank you for the little things. Went out yesterday to start my car. Click. I didn't say thank you, Jesus. I didn't. I got on my jumper cables, started the car, and I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And then I threw a rod. You know what throwing a rod means? It didn't mean I get mad and I threw something. It means my car died. Dead. I've had this car 11 years. All of my kids have thrown up in this car. Every one of them. We have raised all of our kids in this car. So, am I thankful today? Yes. You know why? God provided a car last week for us in the middle of, we weren't going to get one. But when my son wrecked his car, we got a car. God provided for us. But was I thankful? Not up front. Am I thankful this morning? Yeah. You know, as I was studying last night, I always put the polish and shine on Saturday night and Sunday morning. I was putting the polish and shine on last night, and I was reading this sermon. I thought, golly, it's too late to change. I've already wrote the notes on the sermon thing, and I can't just change it because right now I'm not very thankful. And then God reminded me how wonderful my life is. He didn't look at me and say, "Hey, you're good looking and, you know, everybody's glad they know you." What he said was, "You got a lot of things going for your life, bud. You better stop complaining. There's a whole lot more that can happen in your life." How many of you ever feel like that? You just got to stop and say, "Oh, gosh, I'm so thankful. I have kids that are alive and healthy. My wife and I are alive and healthy. We got to lead people to the Lord. We got these things." So how is your attitude of gratitude today? I invite you to pray right now and ask God to give you things to be thankful for, because next week when you come, and you will, and you're going to bring your friends with you, they're going to hear you say how thankful you are. And it might be that you even say to them, say to us as a church, "Hey, I'm so thankful that my friend so-and-so is here because I just have great friends." You need to be thankful in the circumstances that God gave you. And so next week, we're going to give you that opportunity. So come prepared. Here's what usually happens at a Baptist church. Jeffrey, play a song. We're going to play a song, right? Might as well get up. We're going to do the invitation. You're going to play a song. He's going to play a song, and then we're going to take a break. Or everybody's going to share what Jesus has done in their life. I got two people that go, "I guess I will." No one else will. They stand up and they say all the, you know, they're great. And I'm not downplaying anybody's thankfulness, but usually we don't have this mentality where I'm having to say one at a time, one at a time. I want it next week. I want to be able to say one at a time. You first, then you, then you, then you, then you, and then you. And then we'll do some more. Because, not because I want to hear it, because God needs to hear it from you. And your friends whom you invite need to hear why you're thankful. You know, you have this whole opportunity in the holiday seasons. We give presents to say thanks to people, right? We give gifts to appreciate them. We give gifts at Thanksgiving. We do all kinds of things to be thankful. And so just to praise God and direct everything that we are to Him is just the best gift you can give the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your Son, Jesus Christ. First of all, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that you brought us together, that we can fellowship together, and that we can study your word, and that we know these things because it says so in your word and it's truth. But Father, we just pray today that you would change our attitude, make it grateful. Father, I know that things could be worse. All the way through my life, I've experienced this. But Father, I pray today that it doesn't matter what things happen, where I end up, that I am like Paul and I shout for joy. and that I can be thankful in my circumstances. Father, I pray that each person, as they look into their own life this week, would find not one thing to be thankful for, but 100 things to be thankful for. Father, I pray that they come next week, that we don't even have time for a message because we're going to be so thankful. We're just going to hear testimony all hour. I pray that that would happen. Father, we thank you.